97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
You know, I started the show on Monday with a warning, a dire warning about North Carolina, because I'm not anything special, but I sensed that this was going to be a major story, and it is a major story, and it's still being undercovered. I mean, what these people are going through in Appalachia right now, we don't even have a sense of how bad it is, unfortunately. Selena Zito has written about this part of the country many times, and she wrote about it in the aftermath of the hurricane. She's back with us. You can find all of her work at selenazito.com. I mean, it's really, really bad, Selena. And here again, we have a situation where, you know, people are not really paying attention in the legacy media. Although, I just popped in Selena on the phone line, and I think she got cut off because I was about to go to her. And hopefully someone's paying attention to me, because I'm disadvantaged here in this studio and I can't see things out there in the other room. So, Ethan, if you are listening, this presents challenges to the host when Sue's not in here. So we don't have Selena. We'll get her on here in just a second. Let me tell you what's coming up in just a little bit. Former Senator Lamping is set up as well. And then I found a piece, and I don't know Beth, but Beth Brelia is her name. And she wrote for The Federalist about what's going on with the hurricane situation in Appalachia from a little bit of a different perspective, which is, I think, looking at it from more of a media perspective and angle with the debate moderators and how they completely ignored this. Selena Zito had this brilliant walk up and introduction, and then all of a sudden I looked down and you were on the phone line. So you'll just have to assume it was so good. But look, I've been talking about North Carolina and this devastation for 3 days. I went so far as to say, not that it would have any impact, I thought J.D. Vance should have postponed the debate and said, look, people need help in North Carolina right now. And you've seen some of this and you're reporting on some of it.
Yeah, I mean, look, I wrote a piece the other when this first broke out or first happened, and, you know, 1 hour goes by, 3 hours, a day, 2 days, 4 days. There's no media reportage on it. It was only because of the pressure of the coming out of social media of people telling and saying, we can't get a hold of our family. And then they go down there and they see the devastation, because a lot of people couldn't even post what was happening because there's no service. And you know, this is Appalachia. This is a part of the country, despite it being over 423 counties in our country, 27 million people. This is not a place of that is the center of power and wealth. And it doesn't even have anything to do with being red or blue, because Asheville, North Carolina, is like as hippie and left as you can get, right? It's about,
yeah, they film
place.
Movies there, right? A lot of movies have been right. made there.
It's about place. And this place, because there's no big corporate headquarters there. I mean, there are some, but there's, you know, in that thousands of miles stretch, because there's no, you know, it's not New York, it's not D.C. This has always been scant coverage. Think about the floods in Kentucky last year, or the floods in Iowa 2 years ago. That's the, you know, the South and the Midwest. You compare that to the coverage that happened with Sandy, which happened in the East Coast, it happened in New York, and it affected, you know, them, then they cover it. But when it's foreign to them, they don't. And they don't understand the complexities of the haulers and the mountains and, you know, the poorest people. The poorest people in Appalachia always live right beside the creek.
See, these are things that regular reporters, the elite legacy media reporters, have no idea. And they're not making this attempt. By the way, here's someone from social media really crying for help.
I'm safe in my house. Our power came on. I have water and I'm so blessed. But the reports that are coming out of these towns in Western North Carolina are horrific. The news is not even coming close to catching the true devastation.
Now, Selena, I want to be careful with numbers. That same woman said something about 900 people who were at a hospital that had not been identified. That seems like a really, really big number, and I don't know that it's accurate, so we do have to be careful with some of the official stuff. But this is not getting better. You have helicopter pilots that are saying, wait a second, why are we flying into this devastation? Where's the federal government?
Well, here's the thing. These are people that are used to helping each other out because the federal government never does come.
Oh, that's a good point.
Okay, let's just think about this for a second. There are only two presidents in modern history that have done campaigning, like have campaigned for president on their lives and them being seen. And that is JFK in 1960 and Donald Trump in all 3 years that
wow,
he has run.
Wow, that's interesting. That is really interesting, I would say.
Pittsburgh is, it is the largest city in Appalachia. But, you know, even coming to Pittsburgh is more about talking about steel, which we don't make anymore. So, you know, I always find it a little bit laughable when they do that. So even then, when they do come to Pittsburgh, they don't even, you know, in particular the Democrats, they don't even know what Pittsburgh is anymore. And so there's just this wild disconnect, and services here have always been lacking. They've always this, and when there is a problem, they throw money at it. They send people down to us, and they run these, you know, these little government fiefdoms, and the money just basically is circular and stays within the government and doesn't really do anything meaningful in the areas that need it.
So the most important thing are people that are hungry, that don't have water, that are injured, that are hurt, and maybe even dead. But we talked about this a little bit earlier. Look, there's going to be potential consequences here if people can't get out and vote in this part of the country, isn't there?
That's possible. However, I suspect, I don't know, this is just my suspicion. Look for Elon Musk. Setting up these Starlinks, making sure that people have access to be able to either do a mail-in ballot or be able to vote. I think you know, this is a guy who's really, really hyper focused on technology and how it can be helpful in today's world and in places like Appalachia. And so I'm not overtly concerned. I think that that they will get their ballots and they will vote.
How did you think that JD did the other night at the debate? I thought he did quite well.
He crushed it.
Yeah.
He absolutely crushed it. You know, I have been covering JD Vance since just when his book came out, which, by the way, was not popular when it first came out. It was only when people, the elites, were looking for a way to understand Donald Trump in 2016, like 6 months later, that they paid attention to the book. And then that's when he sort of rocketed, you know, in the forefront in our culture and eventually in our politics. But JD, to me, has always been a happy warrior. He has always been someone that can articulate complex ideas and policies, not just because of his intellect, but also because of where he came from and what he knows does and does not work.
What did you think about the knucklehead?
You know, I thought that was insulting.
Yeah, it was.
That was insulting. It's like saying, he's like saying, I'm just like the rest of you and you're dumb. It's just a sideways saying that you're deplorable.
Were you able to, and I'm not a fan because they usually suck, but the cold open on Saturday Night Live, in particular with Jim Gaffigan playing Tim Walz, did you see that by any chance?
It was good. I didn't see it live.
Oh, my God. But it was really, really good. All right. Well, listen, this is going to be the home stretch here. How are you feeling about Pennsylvania right now? Because it still seems like it's all going to come down to your state.
Definitely. I have a story out today, and I said, it looks like to me that this race is going to come down to the cosmetologists, the welders, the working class people in a small town in Pennsylvania who will decide this election. And if the election were held today, Trump would have the advantage.
Yeah,
now a million different things can happen. So, you know, that's also true. But if it were held today, you know, he has the advantage.
Keep us posted. SelenaZito.com is where you can find the work. Thank you, Selena. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
Get more at 971talk.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.